The HIV Hour, every first and third Thursday, 7 p.m, repeated throughout the month. Please check Radio Reverb schedule on the website, radioreverb.com. It's 97.2 FM and DAB+. Please check our social pages, Twitter and Instagram at HIV_hour. And you can join our Facebook page at HIV Hour Reverb. If you want to contact us, please do go to our email, which is hiv@gmail.com. You can listen and subscribe to our famous podcast. Just type in HIV Hour at Spotify, iTunes and Deezer and Apple Podcasts. If you want to listen to a full HIV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website and go to the Listen Again page. The HIV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds. Hi, Sue.
Josh.
It's just me and you today. We're doing an extra one, aren't we?
Yeah, the duo, the Brighton duo.
It's like the old days.
Yeah, the olden days where there's just you and I.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, because you've got a great interview today, haven't you? So everyone's like, the other members of our team are doing other things. David's away and we thought we'd just get this one in because it's important to get it out.
Get this one in and get it out. Lovely.
Yeah. How are you anyway? What have you been up to?
Yeah, no, well, not a lot. Well,
not so lot.
I know. Earlier in the week, last week, I went to the, I was honoured and asked to go to the news, Pink News Award. Let me get it right.
Yeah,
and I didn't realise it's such a big event, isn't it? It's really quite a big event.
I don't know, I wasn't invited.
But it was all glam. It was at the Royal Lancaster Hotel, which was lovely. And we've seen some great, phenomenal people doing great, phenomenal work within the LGBT plus Q community. We had MPs talking. We had Ryan, what's his name?
I don't know. I didn't go.
The one that's had the...
I'm going to keep saying that, Sue. I didn't get invited.
Didn't you go?
No, but you see
Ryan Clark, and I got a lovely picture with him, obviously.
Green Ryland.
That's right, yeah, Ryland, yeah. Ryland.
Got you.
And, he was doing photographs and things afterwards, and we got a few photographs with him. And but it was such a lovely event, apart from all the stars on it, and... It was just meeting people, and I'm gonna make everybody laugh here. I found out what a drag queen was. I thought it was just drag queens. Now I'm just Sue, that is still getting to know stuff, okay? And one of my colleagues explained what a drag queen was, and I thought, well, that doesn't look like a drag queen. So I learned something from that evening, Josh. You obviously know what a drag king is, don't you?
I do, yes. And I was thinking, because, you know, I don't even remember, Sue, but I did the drag for a day workshop for the Sussex Peak.
Did.
Well, I think they look for you can be, if you are up for it, I'm sure they'd allow you to be a drag king or try to be a drag king yourself, maybe. What about that?
Let's have a think about it in the new year, then.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Put you on the spot.
But no, it was a great event, and then... Obviously, I was sitting on the THT table and was honoured to sort of sit with colleagues, and lots of awards were given for amazing things that amazing people have done. So that was, really, it was a great experience, and I enjoyed it.
You went with Stephen, didn't you?
Yeah, I went with Stephen, one of our presenters. Yeah, he was in his gorgeous red suit with these amazing red boots.
Yes, so, I saw pictures of it. Yeah, amazing.
Of the boots, yes. They were better than my shoes. How dare he? And I thought my shoes were outstanding, but hey ho. But no, we had a really lovely evening. Apart from that, just obviously getting loads of work in for the run up to World AIDS Day, lots of stuff going on, lots of busy things going on. So yeah, what about yourself?
Well, we did another You've Forgotten, the day after the
week. Yes, Monday. I was waiting for you to mention that. I was waiting for you, Josh.
So it was the Brighton Rainbow Fund Awards, so giving grants out to LGBTQ and HIV organisations in Brighton, and we applied for a grant, haven't we? And we were successful, which is brilliant. So we went to, it was like an evening for them to give out a like a little plaque, wasn't it?
It was lovely. Yeah, very nice.
And Stephen came down and we had a good time. He was nice, wasn't it? And it's good to meet other people who are in the community, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was, yes. And, we were so lucky and fortunate that, you know, we were able to get that grant because it's going to enable us to do many other things. You know, we want to reach out to more people, don't we, Josh? We want to get more people listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb. But unfortunately, like everything in the world, you know, some things cost money to do certain things, and that funding is really going to help and support us, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, and we can upgrade. I think it needs an upgrade. We've been doing it it's been going a lot longer than I've been doing it. It started a while ago, wasn't it? You've been involved a lot longer than I have.
Yeah, so yeah.
I think it's time for us to just push to go up the next step, isn't it? So very excited about that. So,
So watch the space for all the new things happening, hopefully.
Yes. I was going to say something about the Pink Awards. Can we go back to the Pink Awards? What was the what were the awards for? Who were they given? What were they given out to?
Well, okay, so they had there was about 15 nominees, and there was who was doing what in media within the LGBT politics, films. They had the first the best performance of. Or I think, was it The First Kiss or something? It was like a performance of a TV show. And, of course, that went to I Kissed a Boy. So the whole cast of I Kissed a Boy was on, looking very lovely. Yeah. So they came on. There was about 15 of them. So they got the best. There was lots of, the big awards, and they have lots of different things from going on from different categories. And... but yeah, there was a few people I recognised, you know, that were out there doing amazing things. So there was sort of broke. There was about 15 awards, and I remember that one specifically because I remember the show I Kissed a Boy. You know that the did you ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I can't remember. Can't think.
So I remember that one. They got the award for that, and there was activists as well that had done amazing things within the media.
Was there anything to do with HIV that got an award?
Not necessarily HIV. I mean, the Pink Awards are sponsored by Lloyds Bank, and they came on to do a talk, to do a presentation, and they also spoke about HIV and, they spoke about HIV within the communities. And how, you know, very much some of the things that we talk about. So that actually that was quite a good speech, actually, I believe I'm just thinking, did they mention the 2030 goal? They were talking about the medications and how it should not be stigmatizing. And
that leads nicely onto my posterior.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How's it going?
Not there. I've still got it.
Are you sitting comfortably still?
I am. No, it's fine. It's well over my. So to let our listeners know, I'm on the injectables at the moment. So it's been well over a year. And I'm doing all right. Yeah, it's good. No side effects as I know. So keep going. Get injected every 2 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's fine. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still the same. I've also heard, obviously, this sort of there may be possibly new medications coming into injectables.
Yeah, there's a lot happening, isn't there?
Yeah, which is good news, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Watch your space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what's on the show? Because it's an extra show, isn't it? We're putting it in. So it's you've done an amazing interview, haven't you?
We're giving you a treat, aren't we? Well, we're giving everyone a treat. Yeah, I've done... an amazing interview with the Marie Curie, Louisa from Marie Curie, and it's about a taboo. And we say taboo when we talk about end of life and preparing for end of life. Let's be honest, none of us really want to think about it, do we? But I mean, if you, you know, so she's actually doing a project that's getting launched in Brighton. It's called The Life Cafe.
Okay.
And it's where you can come and meet and eat cake and talk and chat and just talk about how that Mary Cure can maybe help you plan.
So shall I have a listen to it? So we'll, yeah, I mean, sure. It's such a good idea. It's amazing, really.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the brightonarea.com. You can also get our famous podcast by going to our webpage, gmail.com HIVR. I'd like to introduce Louisa Dreger. Now, Louisa, have I pronounced that right?
It's Dreger, as if the J, you know, is a Y, but it's a common mistake.
I do my best. I don't know whether it's sometimes the dyslexia comes out and people say, you're making excuses, but I do try my best.
No, it's a tricky one.
Right. So Louisa is from an amazing organisation, charity, Marie Curie, and we're going to be talking about a bit of a taboo subject today. But, you know, we want to get a few things out in the open. We want to start a conversation, don't we, Louisa? So, first of all, tell us first of all about Marie Curie and the amazing work that you do.
So we are a national charity, and we provide lots of different care and services for people at the end of their life, but not just the people who are dying and terminally ill, but also their families. And we also provide services for when people are bereaved and after they have lost somebody. Many of our services are in-person services, so lots of you will be hopefully familiar with seeing some of our nurses and healthcare assistants in your communities. We provide care in people's homes, daycare and night care, which enables people to stay at home if that's their wish. And around the country, we also have a number of hospices. So where people have particularly complex needs at the end of their life, or they want to be in a hospice environment, then we do that our best to facilitate that as well.
That's really interesting what you just say there. You're not just there for the people that are getting ready to pass, but it's the loved ones. It's the
absolutely
loved ones. It's supporting the loved ones. And when those people have passed, supporting them, I'm getting the idea, supporting them through that bereavement. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's how we very much see it. We say that we're there for the whole family, and however that family's made up. It doesn't have to be a blood family. It can be a family of somebody's animals. It can be their neighbours. It can be their other care support staff, or it can be a traditional family. Not a lot of people know, but it's actually a statutory right to have care at the end of your life. So that's a 12-week obligation that local health authorities and the government have to provide, and we get to provide that for people, as I said, within their own homes or within our hospices. But we also have a number of services. So even if there are not Marie Curie nurses or healthcare assistants in your area, you can still access those services through our support line. Our support line offers volunteer counselling with a named person over 6 sessions, which can be longer if needed. We have our energy advisors who can advise families and individuals of the benefits and rights they have around the bills. Obviously, it can be a very expensive time at the end of somebody's life, especially if they've got additional equipment in their home or their working life has been impacted to care for somebody. And they can also ask to speak to a nurse for general advice and support on that line. The line's open, I think it's 6 days a week at the moment, but over particularly things like Christmas, Easter, New Year, where it can be very, very difficult for people, we have extended hours and we're always open on bank holidays. We actually often see a big rise in people calling that for support, because we know that it can be a very difficult time for people.
That's one thing I've learned and didn't know. You said that everyone has got an individual right to have a 12-week care put
yes
in place. Now, I didn't know that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
It's a little known fact, surprisingly, but yeah, it's a statutory obligation, and nobody should have to pay for that. We often have families ringing up, asking if they can pay for care. No, we're not a paid for service. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously other organisations that offer that care, but we offer it, and it should be free and accessible to everybody. What we find really sadly is that we know that it's not accessible to everybody just by the fact that either they don't know about it, they know about it, or they haven't got somebody to advocate for them in that time, or that there are other barriers in the way of them receiving that care.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's just amazing. And how long have you been with Marie Curie, Louisa?
So I've been in my current role for 12 months, almost exactly. And I was in a previous role, but working within the Southeast team for a few years before at Marie Curie. The office I work in, I work alongside on the same floor as all our nurses and healthcare assistants. So I see a lot of the day-to-day functioning and hear a lot about what's going on with people going out into the communities and caring. So yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
So the big question is, why is it still being seen as still a taboo? We're not talking about things, are we? That things are naturally going to happen, whether it's through illness or whether it's just you've come to the end of your age, whenever that may be. What is happening? Why do you think we're not talking more?
The old saying, what is it? There's, you know, two things you can guarantee in life is death and taxes.
Yeah. Very true.
Unfortunately, what we do see, and I think we're particularly poor at this in the UK, is it's such a taboo subject and people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to talk about it with their families. And that can be everything from planning a funeral to planning or having a will. But also making end-of-life arrangements, where people want to be, what their wishes are, how they want to be cared for. And what we find is when those plans aren't in place, it makes those end weeks, months, sometimes years, much more difficult, especially for family members, because sometimes it's very, very difficult in those final times. We often see families at crisis point where care needs are very intense. There may not, by that point, there's very little emotional and physical space to have the time to do any sort of planning. I would say as well that if people have already had trauma in their lives, whether that's they've had a diagnosis like HIV earlier in their life, whether there are cultural beliefs, maybe second languages, they perhaps weren't born in the UK. All of these things can add to us not accessing and putting down exactly what we want.
Mm. And you mentioned HIV. And if we go back three or four decades ago, you got diagnosed that the thing was happening is you got diagnosed and you were given X amount of time to live. And that's what, you know, and it's documented, that's what was happening back about four decades ago. Obviously, HIV has changed and people can live a long and healthy life with HIV. So that's the great news. But, you know, I live with HIV myself. And just about a year ago, I know I shock a lot of people by saying this, only just a year ago, I empowered myself to make a will. I know. And, you know, and I haven't got lots and lots of things to give away in the league. Well, I don't think I have, but it was just making that first move, because it's thinking of going, it's thinking of death and writing those things down. You're thinking, oh, my God. But for me, it was a first step of then the inevitable that's going to happen to all of us, you know, whether you live with a long term condition or not. I mean, what do you think?
Absolutely. It's really, really difficult. I say that from personal experience. I see it in my own family. But what what we would like people to see is that it actually can be empowering. Yeah. You can take back decisions to how you want things to be, especially if there's things that have happened in the past, or perhaps people have had negative experiences, whether that's of hospitals, of doctors, of being cared for. Some of recent examples of people that we've looked after in the community and some of their last wishes. We had one lady, she wanted to have a glass of champagne every day while she was at home.
Wow, I'm with that lady.
And because she said that, and because then that means if you're cared for at home, you can have as much as or as little alcohol as you want. Obviously, in a hospital environment or hospice, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really important to her. There was another lady recently who was, she was in hospital, she was palliative, but she was desperate. She wanted to be with her dog when she died.
Oh.
And we were able to facilitate that. It was hard, but we got her out of the hospital. She was then able to have care at home. Obviously, the dog wasn't allowed in the hospital, and the dog stayed with her till the end. But if we don't know what people's requests are in those times, it makes it much harder. It's also families don't know what they want. It can cause frictions. It can cause arguments. I also love the idea of dictating to everyone after I'm dead about what they can do and not do at my funeral.
Love it.
So obviously some of the subjects are much heavier, as in what we want to happen to our estate, what we want to happen to our money, if there's any caring responsibilities that we need to pass over. But some of it can literally be, say, this is the type of party I want, this is who I want to sit in a certain place, these are the speeches, this is the music. So it doesn't all have to be doom and gloom in the conversation. It can be an empowering document. It's also important to state that if you do any sort of official document, which we would call an advanced care plan, it's not set in stone. It's saved somewhere. All your sort of lead professionals and family have access to that in their life, but you can update it. So if things change, if a relationship's change, if your circumstances change, you can always update it or just add to it. So it's not that. I think it can be daunting thinking that you have to make a decision forever. That's not the case.
Yeah. And I think it's important to get people to realise that, because, you know, they may think, okay, well, once I've done, that's it, done it. And that might make people think, well, I'm not going to do anything because maybe something may change and I may not be able to. But if they have the understanding that things can be changed later on, whatever, it's other circumstances changed. And I believe, I'm thinking, you know, it might give also the family members that reassuring that things are set in place. They're set in place. Then you can go and continue whatever, enjoy the life you have still left. But I understand that, you know, and the thing is, we're not just necessarily talking about older people. We're talking about getting to the end of our lives. I hope I go old and grey very disgracefully, and that will be amazing. But, you know, things happen in life we don't expect.
We believe that you can do an advanced care plan or a planning document at any time in your life. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes there are certain triggers that happen with people that we've noticed. So sometimes that can be having your own children. Yes. Sometimes it can be the death of a parent, maybe a significant diagnosis that's not terminal, but it's going to impact your life. So all of those things can trigger it, but you can literally do this document at any time. It's also, I think it's quite nice to look at it sometimes as a gift as well that you leave, that the person that will then be taking care of everything once you're gone, or your caring needs, they don't have to think about things. They know exactly what you want, and they can give that to you. So it's a really important thing to do that's also very difficult for most of us. We completely get that. So
FM
Radio Reverb.
And that brings us on to an amazing new project that's happening and is going to be getting kicked off in Brighton, dare I say. And tell us a bit more about that new project.
So obviously at Myra Curie we talk about death dying and bereavement all the time. But we realise this is not a common conversation. And I see it. So I will go out to a health fair, or I'll go out to a particular meeting, and I can see people actively avoid me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that people do want to talk about these things, but it's very, very difficult, because sometimes people come up to me to tell me specifically they don't want to talk to me, which then I know they do, but that this is going to be a hard conversation to get to. So we went through quite a long process of how we can ignite these conversations, and also ignite them that it's not in an overly formal way. We don't want to invite people to a specific meeting and say you have to fill in these documents. So back in 2019, Marie Curie developed what they call the Marie Curie Life Cafe. Unfortunately, then we had the pandemic. Yeah. So just pandemic. As they were developed, and they were developed to be face-to-face interactive tools that people could come and discuss lots of issues that were important to them, gain some insight, and also gain some advice. So I have to say they got shelved for about 2 years because we weren't doing anything face-to-face. But we've got them out of the cupboards. And it's basically, we will work with, sometimes on our own, but usually with organisations that are working with a community that this could be really, really useful for. We would invite people to come along. There's lots of tea, there's lots of cake, as if it's a real cafe. Mm-hmm. But we will do a series of, I suppose, exercises, but they are gentle mind prompts, photo cards. We've got some physical things just to start to open up those conversations very gently. It's interesting, particularly I find with the things that people can hold, it really does start to connect. So people often have a very emotional experience that they weren't expecting. But what we're able to do then is open up from their own experiences the kind of support that they could receive. We wouldn't be asking people to sit down there and then and put everything out, but it's starting those conversations and saying, if you would like more support, here's a number of ways we could do it. And if you'd like to look at doing an ACP, an advanced care plan about your wishes, this is what we can do. I have to say, there's no hard and fast rules. If somebody came along to one of our live cafes and said, this is not for me, I want my cake and that's it, that's totally fine as well. We've done a few of them internally with our staff and just done a very few small ones locally so far. I've been amazed about it's almost like once you chip the top of the iceberg, you suddenly see how much is there and how much it affects people. And sometimes it's for themselves. Sometimes they say, oh, I'm going to speak to my parents about doing this. And it's really...
It could start the conversation. If they don't achieve too much in the room, the mind is a great thing for thinking. It could start a conversation when they leave the room, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. And also knowing that the conversation with us doesn't stop there. So they can ring our support line. They can contact whoever does the workshop with them again. So hopefully it becomes a supported relationship. We find that there are certain communities that it is genuinely more difficult for, and for very, very genuine, sometimes horrific reasons. Mm-hmm. And for us, that means that these conversations are even more important.
Yeah.
And the support that we provide is even more important.
Yeah.
What we don't want is if somebody wants to die alone, that's absolutely fine. But we want to make sure that people are supported absolutely all the way through to the end.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you're collaborating with Terence Higgins Trust on the 31st. Yes. Is that correct? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So over the last almost 10 months now, we've been having some fantastic conversations with the Terence Higgins Trust. Mm-hmm. They obviously work with multiple communities who are HIV positive, but one of the key communities that they work with is an enormous aging cohort.
Yes.
As you mentioned, who were diagnosed in the 80s and 90s to a certain death at the time, but it was not. And it's probably in the last couple of years, the first time that cohort has existed. Mm-hmm. I you might be able to correct me. I think within the Brighton and Hove area and the London area, it's 50% living with HIV is over 55. Yeah,
exactly. And then Brighton, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And Brighton and Hove, we have the large aging population with HIV. So absolutely.
Yeah. And we really recognise that for many of those individuals, past experiences may have been very, very negative. And we really need to let people know that our services are not only there for them, but can be tailored for them. Not necessarily, like you said, that people are going to be dying of HIV, but that's a co-diagnosis and they'll have other things later on in their life. But we feel that's really, really important that that community feels supported in the care that we're able to give.
Absolutely. And what let's tell everybody out there what are the dates and when's it all kicking off?
So we've just got one set at the moment. It's on the 31st of October. Halloween is a good way to remember it.
Can they come dressed up?
You can come dressed any way you want.
Can they put a hat on or something? Or absolutely. A funny mask, just to lighten the load.
Absolutely. They can come in any dress they would like. It's at the Terence Higgins Trust office on Ship Street down in Brighton. We've got a lovely room there. It will be myself and my colleague Tom from London, who was one of the sort of originators of the kit. So that's really great. And like I said, it's please for people to feel free to come along. There is no expectation. We're looking to hear from people, but also if people just want to come along and be much more silent, that's also completely fine. We'll have lots of tea and cake options for people, and I'll also be able to we'll have just lots of our general information there. So even if people just thought I could come along just to get some information, whether it's for them, a family member, then we'd really welcome that as well. They just need to drop Tim a line at the Terence Higgins Trust.
Do you have a direct contact number, or would it be Tim?
It will be Tim's number. Just seeing if I've got the.
It's Tim Holt, and it's tim.holt@tht.org.uk.
Yeah, that's great.
Got that? Yeah, brilliant. So if you want to. Let Tim know you're coming, and Tim is wonderful, and I do a lot of work with Tim. He is absolutely super, and he does an amazing work in the community for people living with HIV. So some people may already have been in contact with Tim for other things, so certainly will be in good company, as they would say.
Yeah, Tim has been absolutely amazing, and we definitely see this as it not a one-off event, but as part of a longer ongoing partnership about how we can support long-term survivors of HIV as they become an aging cohort in their life. And just to say as well that we're aware that for some this could be something emotional, that it can bring certain things up, that it can trigger certain things, and we're really aware of that, and we'll make sure that we have appropriate services in place and also signposting support as well for people, because it can be really, really emotional. I've seen it before, so we totally understand that.
That's great. Well, I really do hope the first session goes well, and you get some people come along, if not just for the cake and tea and conversation, and maybe just go away with okay, I'm not going to do anything at the moment, but I'm going to think about it. That's a start, isn't it? That would be a start. Okay, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to digest it and then think. That would be an absolute start. That's all what we want, isn't it? For people to start thinking. None of us like talking about it. None of us do. We're all human beings, but I made a start a year ago, and that was putting a will in order. And I'd put it off for years and years and years, but I thought, come on. And so I'm glad I did. So that's the first step for me. So.
That's really, the way that you've said it is really, really important. It's just a first step. And yeah. It doesn't dictate the second step or the third step, but a first step is absolutely great. It can really be a weight off people's minds once it's done. Mm-hmm. And it can also make things a lot easier for the families, like we mentioned before.
Yes.
And it, just to reiterate, you don't have to do these things alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's support to do them. There's lots of structures and people in place that can help, because we recognise that it's really difficult. So, yeah.
That's brilliant, Louise. Thank you so much for coming on the HIV Hour. And hopefully, you know, you may come on again and see how the Life Cafe is going, you know, perhaps in next year or sometime. But, you know, thank you with all what you do at Marie Curie and all your colleagues that do an amazing job and service for us out in the community. So thank you. We wish you well with the Life Cafe. So you take care and thank you again.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was such a great interview, wasn't it? Amazing.
It was. Yes, it was. Very. Yeah. She's very passionate. Very passionate about this new project and engaging more people to make those. And it is a taboo, isn't it? It is a taboo. You know,
obviously.
Yeah, it is a taboo. But, you know, we admit it could be that we could become incapacitated in the future. You know, we don't know, and it may not happen. Nothing to do with HIV, but you just don't know, do you?
I think I've mentioned this before. I think I mentioned it on Monday when we went to the Brighton the Rainbow Fund award things. I'm a bit, so I don't know, I've become quite frightened about getting older with HIV. I don't know whether it's just something I'm going through or. I don't know. I think it's because.
You know what? We were talking off air and she said a lot of people are feeling that.
Do you think just generally, anyway?
I think in general, this is the sort of the, you know, she's meeting a lot of maybe older people that may not even be thinking about it, but it's on their mind and they're getting anxious about it. And it's just trying to take that anxiousness away and say, okay, I've done it. Okay, I can't do it. We can't do anything about it, can we? You know, we're all going to go at some point. But if we have like something in place, if we have, you know, that can be maybe slightly empowering for us and maybe people that are near to us. I don't know.
So go down to the Life Cafe and have a chat if you pass it. Do you know where it is? I probably said that in the interview as well.
The first one is going to be held at the Terence Higgins Trust in Ship Street in Brighton.
Yeah.
I have mentioned Tim's email on the actual interview to get But you can always, if you can't, you know, you can always ring the Terence Higgins Trust office in Ship Street. If you just want to make an inquiry, you don't have to, you know, you just come along, just sit and chat and have cake, and you never know.
What more do you need?
You might go out with just some food for thought or food for cake. I don't know.
Food for cake.
Yeah.
So we've got some community news. We're going to just go through some, aren't we? Because there's some going on. So James Legwood, who is an amazing advocate for HIV and an amazing person who died. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, they've done a friendship bench in the Steen Gardens where the statue is. Do you know the World AIDS Day statue?
Yes.
So they've I'll just read you a little bit about it. If I can read it. So it's in honor of LGBT's community champion James Legwood, the founder of G-Seams, and the Brighton Rainbow Fund. So it's unbelievable what he did, really, and what he started, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's been unveiled in New Steen Gardens. The bench, which was unveiled by the mayor, Jackie O'Quinn, was designed by Romany Mark Bruce, who actually did the actual statue, the World AIDS Day statue. The man behind the Brighton AIDS Memorial, I've just said. Romany has said that the colour scheme of the bench, because it's quite out there actually, was inspired by the last shirt that James was wearing, which I think is brilliant. So do go and check it out, Steen Gardens, if you're passing, and sit on James's seat and sit on his bench. That's nice. Also, what else is going on? THT. So if you've been recently diagnosed or having difficulty coming to terms with HIV, which it's still a big thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's a lot to come to terms with, isn't it? You know.
It is. And people are finding people are still needing support in that early diagnosis, with that early diagnosis. And
yeah. It's important. It's important to have that support at the beginning, isn't it? Did you get support at the beginning? When did you look for support?
I did. I mean, I went to counselling. I was offered, and it was very strange, you know. Strange thinking about 18 years, but you don't forget it, do you? And that's why I think it's important that if people want support and those that in that early time is to go and get it, because you'll never forget your diagnosis. You won't. After 18 years, I still remember the day, the time, the weather, because it's, you know, and if that can be navigated into a not necessarily a better way, but you know, you get help and support right in those early days, help you in the future. You know?
Well, my experience was I didn't tell anyone for 5 years, and that really did my head in, actually. So, and now I do therapy quite a lot now, and I kind of, once I started to go to therapy, kind of unlocked a lot of stuff. But I went a bit mental, to be honest.
Right.
It wasn't good for me to keep it in.
No.
I would say to anybody who may be newly diagnosed or who's just struggling with talking about it, do try to find someone who you can talk to. There's lots of like mind and terms against trust around in there, and so it's just tapping into that support, isn't it? So
there is a lot of stuff around, isn't there?
And we try to get people on the show, don't we, to talk about this. So this new it's a project, it's a workshop. It's between Tony Higgins Trust and Positively UK Metro and Positive East. Mm-hmm. So they're going to provide in-person and online workshops to help you deal with your diagnosis and to gain the knowledge and tools to live well with HIV. Each workshop is run by a different organisation, is led by people who are living with HIV, which I think is really important, because you come from your own personal...
Peer-led, isn't it?
Yeah. So the workshops include dealing with the impact of a diagnosis, opportunities to share experiences and hear others' stories, which, again, we all know that's a good thing. Information on treatment and you equals you, which is undetectable equals untransmissible. So that's the next hybrid course, which is in person for people in London or via Zoom for anyone in the UK, will run by Tony Higgins Trust on Monday the 13th, 20th and the 27th of November, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah, good.
Just think about timings.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, should we just quickly... You mentioned, some people may have already seen it, the new Scottish launches Britain's first anti-HIV campaign in a 40 years to combat stigma. And obviously the big message is, Josh, stigma is more harmful than HIV. So if anyone hasn't had a chance to watch it, it's only about a minute or so long, but they got together with the Scottish government, and the Terence Higgins Trust obviously was part of that. And it's been met with fantastic reviews. So
Did you see it?
Yes, I have seen it, yes. And I say it's been 40 years since anything has been ever launched, and it has been sort of shown on Scottish TV, that in between, you know, prime time programmes.
Wonder if we'll get to see it, or we'll do our own.
Well, this is what we were talking about at the awards the other night with other THD staff, will we have some of our own, or will we show that? We don't know, you know, because normally, and I said, well, normally Scotland normally does things first. They had prep first, didn't they? Do you remember? They had it free first, didn't they? And then we tagged along afterwards. So you never know. Watch this space. But it's, it's a really thought-provoking message. So if anyone hasn't, you can get it downloaded from, you know, it's all over social media at the moment, so...
I've always thought that, because when you look at TV and you get the diabetes adverts and cancer adverts and all these, but there's never an HIV advert for living well, isn't it? And going to get tested.
Exactly.
Using a, you know, all those things. It's just, I don't know why that is, really. I always wondered that, pondered that. So, yeah, that's, I think we've come to the end of the show. I mean, actually, one thing, we are doing, also, the Terry, talking about Terry Higgins, we're part of the Terry Higgins Memorial AIDS Quilt, which it's 40 years since Terry died, isn't it? It's his 40th year. And they're doing a quilt and a podcast. They're doing a podcast, and we're part of that, aren't we? We're in association with Terence Higgins, which is such a great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're really pleased and really happy. So I think the launch is in November, I think that's
middle of November. Not long.
Mm-hmm. But again, that's going to be amazing because it's like different, there's 8 panels, so and each panel represents part of Terry's life. So, keep out of that. We're going to put the podcasts on our podcast platform so you can listen to them. And, but also, I'm sure we'll talk about it nearer the time anyway because we've got a couple of...
Just the two... Do you remember that song? Was it Bill Withers? Just the Two of Us.
Yeah, the Two of Us, yes.
Favourite songs by Bill Withers, yes.
So we should play that next time.
Just the Two of Us.
Go and sing it again.
I've just finished on the song.
Yeah, maybe not. Should we see ourselves and really scare people off? No, should we? So, yeah, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back shortly. I think we're going to have 3 shows in November leading up to World AIDS Day. So, and we'll have the rest of the team back by then.
Yes, we will. Yes.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, take care, everybody.
Night, everyone. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.